Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State. The best outcomes for treating cancer come from early detection. The James Cancer Diagnostic Center is designed to provide rapid evaluation and a clear diagnosis to those who suspect they have cancer. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/diagnosticcenter.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jarovich. As part of President Trump's Big Beautiful Bill Act, a new initiative for investing in children has gone into effect. Every child born in the years 2025 to 2028 can be set up with a $1,000 investment account that can be used in the future. The initial $1,000 will come from the U.S. Treasury Department. After that, parents can invest up to $5,000 a year. This program, called Trump Accounts, has the support of some of America's wealthiest, and its goal is to foster a wealthier and more financially savvy generation. But some are questioning whether these accounts are worth it, or if a more traditional 529 plan is still a safer bet. Joining us now to discuss Trump accounts is Brooke Masters, Managing Editor of Financial Times. Welcome to the show, Brooke.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I just laid out the very basics of Trump accounts, but I know they're actually more complex than what I just said. So let's start with, do you know where this idea came from in the first place of a Trump account?
It's been floating around for a while. There actually was legislation proposed last year by both Democratic and Republican senators to create some kind of account. Mm-hmm. And the idea is basically to give a way for all Americans to be invested in the stock market and to believe in capitalism and therefore have a stake in our system, particularly for people who don't want to go to college, because 529 plans have to be used for either private school or college. And these don't. They roll into an IRA or you can use them for other things.
Mm. So let's back up for a second. So the U.S. government will give new babies born during the second Trump administration a free $1,000. But the catch is you have to open a Trump account to get the money. Is that right?
Correct. And you can't touch it till the kid's 18.
OK, so so these babies born from 2025 to 2028, their parents have to open this Trump account. But you can just let the $1,000 sit there, right? You don't have to do anything else.
Right. And it can get invested in something like the S&P 500. So in 18 years, that $1,000 could grow into really meaningful money. I mean, if you don't take action, you leave it in cash, that's not such a smart move, because then it just stays $1,000. But the idea is to actually give people a reason to start investing for their children.
Okay. So if the $1,000, if the parent opens the account, does the parent have to deal with the stock market and invest it, or is it being done for them?
No, it's like through mutual funds. So basically they count, it's a bit like a 529 plan, actually, where if you've ever looked at that, which is a college savings plan, you open that and you have a choice of, you know, aggressive or less aggressive. Mm-hmm. And the state that runs the plan or whatever manager is running the plan puts the money in for you. You don't have to think about it again.
Mm. Okay, so for this Trump account, is the U.S. Treasury running it for me and putting it in the stock market, or is someone else doing it?
It's still getting worked out, but there will be money managers who are hired. Just like, you know, for example, you know, Vanguard runs a bunch of plans for various state 529 plans. Presumably there will be, you know, a big professional money manager.
Okay. So I read that if you take the $1,000, you open the Trump account and for a baby that was born in 2025, when they turn 18, if you just let it sit there, you invest maybe just conservatively, it can be, you know, maybe like $3,000 or $5,000. Is that right? I read that somewhere.
If you think about the standard doubling of, $1,000 doubles every 5 to 6 years, if you assume relatively normal investment things. So in 18 years, what do you think? So when the kid's six, it'll be 2,000. When the kid's 12, it'll be 4,000. And if the kid, another 5 years, $5,000 to $8,000, assuming if the market just keeps going well and you don't get unlucky on the timing.
Right. Okay. Now, the other part of this is that these accounts allow parents to contribute money over the years. So parents can contribute up to $5,000 a year into each Trump account. That's the cap, $5,000 a year. So
if a parent has $5,000 to spare, what are we talking here growth-wise if the parent puts it in?
Well, it's similarly, it'll double. You know, so if every 1,000, if we say 1,000 is going to end up with 5 to 8, then 5,000 would end up with, I mean, let's just multiply it out. That could be $40,000 to $80,000. Mm-hmm. $40,000 to $80,000.
Yeah, and I read somewhere if you invest it aggressively, and the stock market does well, I mean, we're talking, it could be over $100,000 too.
Look, my kids did 529 plans, and my grandma, bless her heart, gave us some money when they were little, and when they were born, and it helped. I mean, it paid, what she gave us paid for the first year of college. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was pretty cool. It's not like she wrote us a giant check.
So when you, as someone who writes about finances all the time, when you heard about a Trump account, like, what was your initial reaction?
I mean, I think there, it's something to be said for it. I mean, 529 plans are clearly a fabulous benefit for people who have money, parents who already have money to save. You know, if this gives people whose parents do not have money to save a chance to get into the market and have something when they're 18, whether it's to, you know, start a retirement account or to have emergency savings or, you know, maybe buy the car they need to drive to work. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, it is not insignificant spending for the government. I mean, this is big bucks they're going to be putting into this. But if it does skew to the people who don't have anything and aren't already in the market, that's exciting. It gives people who have been shut out in our sort of K-shaped economy, mm-hmm. shut out of the stock market gains, a way in.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about Trump accounts with Brooke Masters, managing editor of Financial Times. So the IRS form that you have to fill out to open a Trump account is called the 4547 form, so 4547. Trump is the 45th and 47th president, so the connection is not lost on me there that he named the form after his two presidencies. So it makes me feel like President Trump wants to be remembered by these kids when they're 18. What do you make of that?
Oh, I think so. He absolutely wants to be remembered. On the other hand, you know, the Truman scholarships that were created to remember Harry Truman have been financing, you know, smart kids who want to go into public service for decades now. And we remember Harry Truman that way. Mm-hmm. And it's been good for the world to have these people.
Yeah. It makes me feel like a Pell Grant, the guy Pell,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Edward Pell, who was the Rhode Island senator who invented that program. It's
right.
His legislation.
Right. So why not name it a Trump account? You got to put your name on it, right? Okay. So there's another element that was announced recently to the Trump accounts. Billionaires Michael and Susan Dell, they said they would invest $6.25 billion into Trump accounts. Can you explain what this money will be used for?
This is really interesting. This is for kids who are too old to benefit from this new thing for newborn babies. It's for kids who are older than that and are from low-income postcodes. They can get $250 a piece into the account. And so again, it gets this thing started. It's not as good as 1,000, but if your kid's already born and has missed this new wonderful benefit, so you've got a 2-year-old, if you fill out one of these forms and set up one of these things, and you're in the right postcode, your kid gets $250. And again, it starts the whole thing. $250 isn't as good as 1,000, but it's better than nothing.
Okay. So the $250, I believe it's for kids who are currently under 10. So I mean, I guess they have to set a limit on it because money's not infinite, but also if the kid's 17, $250 isn't going to do anything, right, investing wise.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah, I think this is partly people who've made their money in the capitalist system are trying to build loyalty to capitalism. Mm. And so if you just give somebody a handout from their point of view, that doesn't do it. If you give them an account that gets them in the market when they're 10, hopefully they start to see what you know, Dell has seen, the Dells have seen. They made a bunch of money off having a public company.
So is this purely a philanthropy thing for the Dells? I mean, is there any skin in the game for them with investing this much money into Trump accounts?
Clearly, lots of people like to make the president happy. Hmm. Putting one of the world's biggest donations into a program named after the president presumably would have advantages for people who want to make the president happy. Hmm. There is definitely talk that other billionaires are thinking about doing it as well. But before we get completely cynical here, let's do remember that, you know, there are 50% of American households do not have stock. if this expands that, and the Dell program in particular is limited or focused on lower income households, if it gets that 50% number to more like 70%, that's good. I mean, the stock market has been one of the really bright spots of the American economy. And if we can share participation more broadly, that's a good thing.
Can you tell me more about this $1,000 for all the newborns from 2025 to 2028? Like, how much? I mean, we can't predict how many babies will be born, but are there numbers of how much this is going to cost the U.S. Treasury?
Billions. I think there have been various estimates, but they're really wide ranging. It's in the billion. I mean, if you think about the Dell account, Dell $6 billion gets you $250. It's probably in the tens of billions.
Mm-hmm. And so if this was a part of Trump's one big, beautiful bill, he just basically was saying, you know, that he's using taxpayer money for this. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. This is taxpayer money. I think what people who favor this program, which includes Democrats like Senator Cory Booker, he wasn't thrilled about calling it a Trump account, but the idea of these accounts, that this, you know, we give subsidies for childcare, we give subsidies for, you know, we allow people not to with 529 plans not to pay taxes on their gains. This is another one of those. It is a government program. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely a government handout program, but it's got a specific goal in mind.
And I've seen this new Trump account described as like a new type of an IRA. When I think of an IRA, I think retirement, though. So can you explain to me what it means if an article says this is a new type of IRA?
Well, the reality is when the kid turns 18, one of the things they can do is move this money into an IRA, where, again, it continues to grow. And then when they tap it for retirement, it's advantaged tax wise.
Mm.
And so in that way, it can be the beginning of a retirement account.
OK. But when the kid is 18, they will have the option to just take the money and do whatever they want with it?
Yeah, they do. It's not purely untaxed. Whatever the gains are, if you take it right out when the kid turns 18, you will pay capital gains, presumably, on all the gains from that $1,000.
Okay.
So, you know, for example, for those of you who remember doing your taxes, you know, if you buy a stock for $100 and it goes up to $200, there's a $100 gain.
Okay.
And long-term gains, which presumably over 18 years is long-term, you pay 10%. So of that extra $100 that you made, you pay 10 to the government. And so if the kid takes it out, they will pay similar amounts of taxes because they will pay taxes on their gains. But if they roll it over into an IRA, they don't pay the taxes. So it continues to grow. And so it's to encourage kids to keep saving.
Okay. And the parents basically have control of it. But whenever the kid turns 18, does it become theirs or do the parents still control it?
As with all accounts for minors, when a kid becomes 18, they control it. If you send up what's called a uniform gift to minors account as a parent now, like you put stock in your kid's name, at 18, they control it.
Okay.
Yes, the kid can run off and run to Tahiti with it if they want.
Okay. And then talk just for, you know, a couple of minutes about the idea of this helping to bridge the wealth gap for the next generation of Americans, because that's what the press release from the White House and anytime I've read things from the White House about this, they're saying that they want the next generation to have a better grasp on money. How will something like this help with that?
Well, if you can imagine, like when I was growing up, until I started work and got a 401k plan, mm-hmm. which is my retirement plan, I have to say the stock market went up, stock market went down. Didn't really understand what that meant. But once you have money sitting in an account that is, say, a S&P 500 fund, stock market goes up, you can see your money go up. And stock market goes down, you're not so happy. But you begin to understand that number matters. And I think the point of this is that these kids will have accounts that make the stock market real to them, that it's gone from $1,000 to $5,000 or to $3,000, and it's gone down and up. And so kids will have will grow up with this stake that I own part of these companies. Like an S&P 500 fund means you own a tiny, tiny little smidgen of all 500 of the biggest companies in America. And that's what these kids will now own. And people who believe that this is a way of introducing folks to capitalism think that this is great because kids will get it and they will have a stake in it. So Coca-Cola isn't just the guy who sells the company that sells them soda. It's something that you have a little tiny stake in. So when it does well, it's good for you too. And if you believe this, and there are lots of people who do, and that who believe in our capitalist system is that stock is the way you share that wealth.
And I guess just to end on, I read several articles about the Trump accounts, and there's varying degrees of support. You know, some people who do not support the Trump administration kind of don't want to open a Trump account because they don't want this, you know, the name, there's the name and yada, yada, yada. But the other people are saying, you know, it's free money. Money's money. It's $1,000. Take it. What would be your take on that?
Absolutely. Money is money. It's like a 401k match. If your employer wants to match you one for one, put the money in. Why would you turn down free money? I mean, yes, it's called the Trump account. Maybe you're not thrilled about it, but it's free money for your child, and college is expensive. And so is the car. I mean,
life is expensive.
Life is expensive. Yeah. And you know, even if your kid blows it on avocado toast, at least they're blowing that, not their salary.
We have been talking about the newly minted Trump accounts. It's $1,000 for newborns born between 2025 and 2028. And we've been talking with Financial Times managing editor Brooke Masters. Brooke, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
And coming up, we're going to talk about an alternative to the Trump accounts that's been around. We're going to talk about the Ohio 529 plan. That is when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
We're coming up on the first anniversary of Donald Trump's return to the White House. His second term has been significantly different from the first, resulting in major changes for the country. From Venezuela to the Epstein files, from National Guard troops to ICE, we'll look at the past year in national politics and what could be ahead with Ken Rudin, host of the Political Junkie podcast, tomorrow on All Sides with Amy Jurevich from 10 to noon on 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Since 1989, Ohio's 529 plan has been one of the go-to options for investing in your child's future, allowing parents to put money away for their children to go to college. Over the years, the ways 529 money can be used have evolved, but at the heart of the savings plan, the intention is to help families to better afford post-high school education and achieve their goals. But with college admission numbers declining, parents have more questions about whether a 529 plan is the right choice for their child's future. Joining us now is Tricia Good, Executive Director of the Ohio Tuition Trust Authority. Welcome to the show, Tricia.
Morning. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
So for listeners who don't know, the Ohio Tuition Trust Authority runs College Advantage, the Ohio 529 plan. So it's something that has several names, but the general idea is it's a tax-free way to save money for your kids' college. Is that the big summary?
That is correct. It's tax-free at the federal level and at the state level, as long as your qualified distributions are just that, qualified as defined by the federal government.
Okay, so let's explain the basics. So you have a kid, you want to save for their future, you want to open a 529 plan. What do you do?
Yeah, so you can go to our website, collegeadvantage.com. You open it up just like any other financial document that you would have or financial account you would have. You need your mailing address, your beneficiary's mailing address, date of birth, social security number for all people involved. You will pick out your options that you want to invest in, and you will connect it generally to a bank account. And it takes about 10 minutes or so to open an account.
Okay. And do you know how many Ohioans have 529 plans? Do you have numbers on that?
I don't specifically know the number of Ohioans, but I know across the state or across the country, we have in excess of 600 and I believe it's 75,000 account holders.
Okay. So there's a misconception for some people that it is just for college. I mean, the name is College Advantage, so it's right there in the name. But what can you use the money for whenever you take the money out after the kid is 18?
Yeah, that's a great question. Of course, you can use it for higher education, as you've mentioned, college, both four-year traditional, two-year, one-year certificate programs. You can use it for apprenticeship programs and credentialing expenses. You can use it for K through 12 expenses, up to $20,000 per year per beneficiary for tuition, materials, books. Fees for nationally standardized achievement tests like AP, SAT, and ACT, and fees for dual enrollment. You can also utilize it for repayment of the student loans up to $10,000, which is a lifetime limit for the beneficiary or their sibling. And more recently, you can roll it over to a Roth IRA if certain criteria has been met. There's a number of items, including lifetime limits, annual IRA limitations, and limitations of how long it needs to be in a 529 plan. So it is very, very versatile, and you can use it for a number of different items.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack there, but let's back up. Did you say you can use 529 money for K-12 school? I did not know that.
Correct. You can use it for tuition and expenses for K through 12 beneficiary.
So if your kid goes to a private school, is that what you mean? Because public school.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
That's correct.
So because I thought you had to leave the money in the 529 plan until the kid was done with high school, but that's not the case.
That is not the case. Not to give any investment advice, but the longer you leave it on account, the more it will potentially grow for the benefit of whatever expenses you're utilizing it for.
Okay. So if you started it when they were one and you want to use it for kindergarten, it probably hasn't grown that much, right?
Potentially not.
Right. Okay. And then the idea of rolling it over into a Roth IRA, is that a newer thing to be able to do that with the money?
Yes, that became effective in 2025 in January.
Oh, and so it's like brand new. Okay.
It's relatively new. There's a $35,000 lifetime limit. Your 529 contributions had to have been in the 529 plan for 5 years, and the 529 plan had to have been opened for 15 years in order to qualify. Then a couple other little nuances. It needs to be a direct trustee-to-trustee transfer. So Ohio 529 would need to send the funds to the Roth IRA trustee. And the yearly Roth IRA contribution limits do apply.
Okay. So let's back up for a minute and talk about this idea of college. Because fewer and fewer people are... You know, college is not the guaranteed thing that it used to be where everyone says, yes, you graduate high school and you go to college. College admission rates are down. Not everyone goes to college. So are you hearing from people who are concerned about using a 529 plan because they just don't know if this tiny baby they're looking at is going to go to college in 18 years?
No, I think every parent has lofty goals for their children. I think, we talk a lot about doing the best thing you can for your child. The federal government has expanded uses to apprenticeship programs and credentialing expenses. So even if your child decides, hey, maybe college isn't the way to go, maybe they want to become an apprentice, maybe an electrician or a plumber or a carpenter. There are ways that you can use the 529 to offset some of those expenses that you have for those.
So what if you end up with too much money in it? Your kid decides not to go to college, but decides to be an apprentice, to become a carpenter, but maybe that's like half the price of college or even less. Can you use part of the money? And then what do you do with the rest of it?
So you can use part of the money for whatever expenses you have. There's no expiration date on the 529 plans. So you can really keep them open from before birth until retirement, through retirement. The other nice thing is you can really roll these over, transfer the unused money over to a qualified family member. And that is anybody that's related to the original beneficiary, really by blood, marriage, or adoption. So it's very broad. It goes all the way through in-laws, all the way up to first cousins.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you could transfer to a family member. That's interesting too.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. I'm learning a lot here. Okay. And then but you said you can use it anytime in your lifetime. So if I don't go to college, and I will use my carpenter example, so you become a carpenter, but then when you're like 30, you decide, oh no, maybe I do want to go to college. So you're like an older student and you go get a bachelor's degree or even a master's degree. Can you use your money for that?
Absolutely. And the other nice thing, Erin, is you can transfer it to your child. If you have a child by then and you think that child is going to, you know, need it for any higher education expense or any educational expense, you can transfer it to your beneficiary.
Okay. This is All Science on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jarovich, and we're talking about Ohio's 529 plan with Tricia Good, Executive Director of the Ohio Tuition Trust Authority. So earlier in the show, we were talking about the newly announced Trump accounts. This is where the U.S. government is giving every child born between the years of 2025 and 2028$1,000 in an investment account. What was your reaction to this announcement of these Trump accounts?
I think they're great. I think that anytime that anybody's encouraging people to save in the terms of the Trump accounts, by putting some seed money in there, that really encourages further savings to be able to use for it. I think it's a good thing. I don't think that it necessarily competes with 529 accounts. But, you know, I think that, like I said, anytime somebody's giving you free money, you know, you should take advantage of that.
Okay. So the money can go through investment in the stock market, and then these Trump accounts, when the kid turns 18, they can just get the money and use it for anything. So it is more flexible than a 529 plan. Does that make it better?
I am certainly not an expert on the Trump accounts. I know that the 529 plans are very, very flexible. You can use it for a variety of things. It's not just for the brick and mortar schools. You can use it throughout your entire lifetime. And if for some reason, you know, you don't want to have continuing education, you don't have any apprenticeship goals, you don't have any student loans that need to be paid, you can roll it over into a Roth IRA and utilize it towards the end of your life. So I know that the 529 plans are very, very flexible. We would encourage participants or people that are interested in the difference between a Trump account and a 529 account really to contact their financial advisor to decide what really works best for their personal financial situation. It might be 529 plans, it might be Trump accounts, or it might be a combination of both for reaching their different goals for their loved ones.
I wanted to ask about the name just for a second. 529, that probably relates to taxes or something. Is that what it is?
That relates to the Internal Revenue Code section number 529, similar to a 401k.
Okay. Numbers are, you get used to 401k and 529. You never think about where it comes from, I guess. But has there ever been thought to changing the name for Ohio for College Advantage, just to show that it's, because you're explaining to me how diverse it is, but it still has College Advantage in the name?
Yeah, I think what we are trying to do is also adopt Ohio 529 so that, you know, people know us by a couple of different names. I'm not sure we would change the branded name College Advantage at this point. We've been around for, you know, in excess of 35 years now. So I'm not sure we would be changing the name. We just like to get the message out of how flexible it is.
Okay. Do 529 plans work the same way in all states?
All 529 plans follow the same guidance at the federal level. There are some different nuances within each state. Ohio, for example, has a deduction, a tax deduction for any Ohio citizen that files a state of Ohio income tax. They can take up to $4,000 per year per beneficiary off of their state tax return with an unlimited carry forward. Different states out there have different rules for their estate taxes, and we would encourage people to go out and do their research before they invest with any 529 plan.
Do you, a part of the pitch for a Trump account is they want to teach the next generation, all these newborns, how to invest in the stock market, how to generate wealth, to be aware of things like that. Do you do that pitch with 529 plans too?
We do as much education as we can. Unfortunately, we are not allowed to provide advice. We're prohibited from that. So we really do encourage individuals that invest either in our direct plan to contact a financial advisor or a tax preparer. Obviously, if you're in our advisor plan, they already have a tax a provider that's trying to help them with advice. But we do have a very robust website that walks people through. We have tools that are available on our website that talks about, calculates the tax benefits, calculates how much to save, and really provides some information on potentially when to start. We also try to break it down into manageable pieces on our website that talks about learning about 529, planning how to save in a 529, starting to save in a 529, and managing those savings as you accumulate. To date, we have about $20.23 billion assets under our care. Mm. So a lot of people have trusted Ohio's 529. We are the seventh largest 529 plan across the country.
Oh, wow. Okay. Full disclosure, I have a 529 plan for both my kids. So you're like, yay. Okay. but I set them up years ago. And I have an amount of money that automatically goes into it each year. And I've changed that twice because once the kid was done with daycare, we had more money. So, you know, like, anyway, we don't need to get into my finances, but I don't remember, because I set it up so many years ago, I don't remember if I picked, I'm 100% sure I didn't pick any aggressive type of investment, but what would I have picked? Is there like a standard, and do I need to go back and look at it? I know you can't give me advice, but can you explain to me, remind me, what did I do? I don't even know.
Yeah, we have tools available on our website that would help you. We really have three different flavors of investments that are available. We have age-based options that are sort of ride a glide path of when your child is younger, it's more in tune to stocks that are out there. And then as your child ages, it goes more into fixed income instruments, bonds, or cash. We have some risk-based options that are available that are really static. They don't change over time automatically. And then we have several options that are available that are individual, different asset allocations that are available out there in the direct plan and in the advisor plan, where you're able to really customize your own plan and your own experience in your asset allocation.
So if you just explaining that made me be like, I have no idea. Do I need a financial advisor to help me?
I think you, a lot of people are able to go to our website mm-hmm. and work through all of the tools to kind of find out what kind of an investor they are, whether they want to be aggressive or whether they're a conservative investor or somewhere in the middle of that. I think those tools would be very, very helpful for you. And if you're not able to do it through the tools, you're welcome to call our 1-800-AFFORD-IT number, and our customer service center here in Columbus, Ohio can walk you through some educational aspects of it. And if not, then we would really recommend that you go with an investment advisor.
Okay. Well, just as a final question, Tricia, before I let you go, give me a pitch. Why should someone listening right now who doesn't have a 529 plan for their kid, why should they open one?
You know what? There is really no downsides whatsoever to a 529. They're tax advantaged. You get the qualified distribution if you're if your distributions are qualified, you don't pay taxes on it. You get the state of Ohio income tax deduction. You know, your contributions grow from this. The moment you start investing, you can start investing. Really, you can start investing today, even if you don't have a beneficiary. You can start investing today in your name, and you can transfer it to another beneficiary. We don't know. There are no downsides from our perspective on opening a 529 plan. And you know what, Amy? Aaron. We really encourage everybody to open a 529 plan, regardless of where they open it, whether it's in Ohio or in another state. You should open it where it makes the most sense for you, and just save for that expense that's going to come down the road.
We have been talking about Ohio's 529 plan, and I want to say thank you to Tricia Good, Executive Director of the Ohio Tuition Trust Authority. Tricia, thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And coming up, we're going to talk about some alternatives to invest for your children and maybe someone who can help me. We're going to talk to a financial planner. That is when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Planning for your child's financial future can be hard and a nerve-wracking experience, trying to balance investing in their future without knowing their future. Some plans prioritize and necessitate going to higher education, while others set children up with nest eggs that they can use however they want. What are some of the best options for parents when weighing their choices, and are there ways to get your children involved in the process? Joining us now is Daniel Tederick, financial advisor with Ross Wealth Advisors. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Hi, thank you, Amy.
So the most well-known college investment plan out there are probably these 529 plans that we just were talking about in our last with our last guest. But we can talk more about 529, but I wanted to ask you first, are there other options? Like, are there other ways parents can invest for their kids that is not a 529 plan?
There's accounts called UTMAs or UGMAs. So they're basically a brokerage account that would invest in the stock market that you can invest for a minor. And then when they turn 18, then it's given over control to them. And it's like a brokerage account.
Explain to me more brokerage account, because these are words I've never heard before.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah. It'd be your typical individual investment account, similar to the IRAs. They invest similarly, but there's no tax advantages to them. So it'd be like starting a bank or savings account, but it'd be in a brokerage firm like a Fidelity or a Schwab, where mm-hmm. you can invest in the stock market and have more exposure to growth, and they can grow and save that way. But there's no tax advantages to that.
Okay. Do people do that, or do people tend to want the tax advantages and do 529s?
People definitely do that. It depends on why you're saving. Typically, people want to save for college, not just, hey, when you're 18, here's the money and run with it. So that's why they'd typically go to a 529 to set the goal for that, or if you're just generally saving and want to have a gift to the minor when they turn 18, it'd be a UTMA or a brokerage account that would be in their name.
Okay, so as a financial advisor, do you help people make these brokerage accounts?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Do you help people start or understand 529 plans?
Mm-hmm. Typically, we direct them to the 529 plan itself, because it's run by the state. We can give advice on them, but the management, we're technically not managing those, but mm-hmm. it is part of a plan. So even if we're not managing it, we want to know your whole financial situation And if that meets your goal, we direct you to there.
Okay, so who are you directing to a 529 plan? Because I just spent some time talking about how their other name is College Advantage. Mm-hmm. And I know of a lot of parents who, you know, are looking at a newborn baby and saying, I don't know if this baby is going to go to college. So I don't know if I need a College Advantage plan. Now, our previous guest just explained all of the different ways you can use the money, which I learned a lot. I didn't know that. But do you send people to 529 when the word college comes up?
Yes. Typically, most of our clients are retirees or near retiring. Mm-hmm. So it'd be the grandparents that would be saving for their grandkids. Mm-hmm. So that's where we'd typically direct them to there. Or how do you want to save for your grandkids? Do you want to set aside some money in your own type of account and just earmark it for them when they turn a certain age? Really just depends on what your goal is. Mm-hmm. But starting the 529 early, that it is very flexible. Like your last guest was saying, it can go to anyone in your family, blood related. So if you start, you and I are in a family, we started one for me, I didn't go to college, but then we saved in my account and you were going to college. That 529 can be switched into your name to pay mm-hmm. for your needs. So they're a lot more flexible in that way, whereas the Trump account would be locked into that individual.
Okay, yes. So that's something that hasn't come up yet. So earlier in the show, we talked about these newly announced Trump accounts. The U.S. government is giving every child born in the years 2025 to 2028$1,000 in an investment account. So that money is locked to that child's name and Social Security number. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But they're saying that the Trump account, when the child turns 18, they can do whatever they want with it.
Right.
So as a financial advisor, someone who talks about this stuff every day, what was your reaction when the Trump account was announced?
I think it's a great way to start saving because you get the tax advantages. So when you put the $1,000 in and any additional money and it continues to grow between the child's birth and when they become 18, any of that growth is growing tax deferred. So you're not paying any taxes on any of that growth. I have some clients that are saving for their kids and grandkids and they create certain types of accounts that might not necessarily be in that person's name, mm-hmm. but their intention is to give it to them at a later date. Mm-hmm. But I like it because you can't start a tax advantaged account for a child unless they have earned income. So if they're starting an IRA, which has the similar tax advantages as these Trump accounts, you wouldn't be able to start that until they have some earned income when they have their first job at 15, 16, 17. Hmm. So it's a great way to start that account, have it grow for several years, almost 18 years if you start it now, to grow. And then it'll have hopefully a larger nest egg as opposed to starting a tax-deferred account, only having a couple years of growth until it can be turned over to that individual.
Yeah, and we talked earlier with a guest who was a reporter who was explaining Trump accounts to us, and I had read a few articles about them and saw mixed reaction. Most people are just saying free money's free money, take the money. Some people are saying I wish it wasn't called a Trump account, but free money's free money, take the money. So right. What would you say in your line of work?
I absolutely agree with that. If there's money on the table and it's free money, I absolutely take it, because mm-hmm. even if you just started it with that $1,000 and never added any money again, with the growth of the S&P 500, because these Trump accounts, they have to be invested in American indexes. I think that's one of the goals for it. So they're most likely going to be linked to the S&P 500, the main index that people hear and know about. If you just put that $1,000 in with 18 years of growth at, say, 6 or 7%, that $1,000 is going to turn into $5,000 by the time the child's 18.
I guess this is something I should have asked earlier, asked the reporter, but it just occurred to me now. What happens when President Trump's not President Trump anymore? Will the Trump account another president can't come in and undo it, can they?
I don't think they'd be able to undo
what's been put
in. What's been done. Mm-hmm. If anything, they'd change the rules to just make it into an IRA because they're taxed the same way. Mm-hmm. And when the child turns 18, that's when you're going to be moving it from a Trump account to an IRA or mm-hmm. an individual account in their name. So taxed the exact same way. The only thing that I could be seeing in the future, maybe they change the name to maybe get the taste out of people's mouth or the name of the account off of it. But once they create it, it's going to be kind of under the umbrella that already exists of tax-deferred accounts. So no true changes if there is anything down the pipe.
Okay. So, yeah. So the money's safe if you open it.
Correct.
Got it. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about financial planning for children with Daniel Tederich, financial advisor for Ross Wealth Advisors. So the idea with the Trump accounts and the 529 plans is to help children learn financial planning and financial literacy. All of the press releases related to the Trump account says they want to create a next generation. They want to give them a jump start on savings. They want them to understand their future financial well-being. Is this something just for parents to worry about, or like is this important for kids to know about too?
I think it's absolutely important for kids to know about because when I was young, my parents started a bank account for me, and $50 here or $20 here, I could see where the money was at, but it's not really growing at a certain rate, and you're just getting the bank interest, which is minimal. But I think starting one of these types of accounts and having it in a growth-oriented portfolio like that S&P 500, you'll be able to see growth and movement in the money. So you can start that financial literacy early just by periodically looking at the account and saying, well, it was this at this point in time. Let's look at it a year from now. This is what the money's changed, and that's just investment exposure. So I think it's a great way to kind of see that market growth and have you experience that, because that's how, once you turn 18, most people are going to be investing in the market in a 401k type of account, seeing it fluctuate up and down, but seeing that power of compound interest and market growth, I think would be very powerful for the next generation.
I'm learning from this hour that I should go to my kids' 529 account and print out some sort of graph that shows them that it grew over a year or something like that and show it to them.
Right, absolutely. And kind of the difference in the mindset between the 529 and the Trump account, well, the 529, if you know you're going to college, you know what that's going to be spent on, and it's absolutely usable for you, but it doesn't give the same sense of, okay, well, I can use this money for anything, whether it be buying a house or down payment on.
Our previous guest said the 18-year-old could take a trip to Tahiti if they wanted to, right?
Right, exactly.
not advisable, but you know.
Right, so it's kind of seeing what your usable money can be if you save and grow those funds.
What you mentioned, that most of your clients are the grandparents, mm-hmm. right? Whenever we're talking about investing for children, it's the grandparents who are trying to put away a little nest egg for their grandchildren. Is it because millennials and Gen X have no money? Is that what's happening right now?
Right. They're taking the financial brunt of the child every day.
Yeah.
Whereas it's easier to save a little here, a little there, mm-hmm. for someone that's not paying for the child's everyday needs.
So what kind of advice do you give to grandparents? I mean, because grandparents can contribute to a 529 plan. I know that. I've sent the link mm-hmm. to the grandparents in my life to put money in there. What do you recommend these other brokerage accounts that you mentioned earlier? Or do you recommend grandparents putting money in 529s? What do you tell them to do?
It's all based on the individual's goals. If education is the number one priority, there's really nothing better than the 529 because it grows tax deferred and it's tax free on those qualified distributions. So if the goal is just for higher education, absolutely the 529 is going to win out on most of the benefits. But if you're saving for other reasons and just want to have the child have a nest egg at a certain point, those other types of accounts might be advantageous. The UTMAs, which would be a regular taxable brokerage account, you'd gift it to them when they're 18. Or the Trump account, a great way to put money away where it's still going for the child's use, but it has some tax advantages.
What do you say to people who don't think they have enough money to be investing? They have no business being investing or working with the stock market at all. Do you encourage them? Like, do you say, like, you really have more money than you think, you can do this?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the stock market is the great wealth creator. So anything that you can put in there periodically, on a periodic basis, is going to benefit you long term. And figure out something in your budget where you can put into a savings, whether it be $50 a month or $50 a week. If you get used to living with that expense going over into an account where it's going to be growing, eventually that's kind of a budget item for you that you're not noticing, but you're still saving.
And we only have about 30 seconds left, but when does someone need to hire someone like you? Whenever they have a ton of questions like I do and they don't have a talk show to get the answers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can always call us, and if we can help you, we're going to want to help you, but we can always point you in the right direction, whether we work with you or not.
We have been talking about ways to save money for your children's future, from 529 plans to brokerage accounts to Trump accounts, with Daniel Tederich, financial advisor for Ross Wealth Advisors. Thank you for joining us today, Daniel.
Thank you.
And this is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. I want to say thanks to our staff, producers Marcus Charleston and Aaron Esmont Rabinowitz, student producers Iza Huck, Colin Simpson, Kiara Burson, and Henry Allen. Video production by The Ohio Channel, board operation by Chris Johnston and Cameron Howard. And if you missed any part of today's show, be sure to visit our website, wosu.org/allsides, or subscribe to our podcast. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
Two competing wings strategically in the Democratic Party. Wing one wants to focus entirely on who on paper is the most electable candidate. And let's hold off on this conversation of populist versus progressive versus institutionalist. Let's not have that fight in 2026.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's today on The Daily from The New York Times. This evening at 6:30 on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from Aardvark Wine and Beer in Limworth, a locally owned and operated shop with a focus on family-owned producers. Aardvark offers draft beer and wine by the glass, weekly wine tastings, and monthly wine clubs. Learn more at aardvarkwineandbeer.com.